Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh. Our guest is Sedgwick County Commission Chair Dave Unruh. Welcome to Issues 2017.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
You represent the 1st District on the board. Now, what is that geographic area for the 1st District?
Well, approximately, it's the northeast corner of Sedgwick County. There's a little portion that runs clear down to Pawnee and the river, but mainly it runs along Kellogg on the south and Oliver on the west.
So, again, some basics. How many districts do we have in the county then?
We have 5.
Okay. And is there anything that makes your district different from the others, other than there are different houses and buildings there?
Well, no.
Do these have any specific characteristics to them?
Well, no. We're all have about 100,000 residents in our district, and we're supposed to encompass all economic categories. And of course we can't do that exactly, but that's the goal, so that we have good representation for our citizens.
See, how do you figure that out? Does somebody make a study of it, or
well, about every 10 years we do redistricting based on what the population census is, and so we have to keep all of our districts approximately the same number of citizens.
You were first elected to the county commission in 2002, I believe. And what did you do before that?
Before that, I was in the automotive repair business. Our family owned a group of automotive repair facilities that my father started in 1947.
Unruh Alignment?
Correct.
How many stores did you have?
Well, at the most number, we had 6 in the area.
Yeah. I can remember growing up, and you guys were the alignment people.
Well, we worked on a lot of cars.
And how many times have you served as chair of the commission?
I'm in the middle of my 4th term.
The 4th term?
Oh, I'm sorry. You did not as a commissioner. You said as chair.
As a chair, yeah.
This is my 5th time being chair.
So, how is that figured? Did they just pass it around to the next person, or is there any politics involved in it on who gets the chair?
Well, there's a little bit of politicking going on as to who gets it, and usually commissioners don't like to be chair when they're running for re-election because it takes a little extra time and they want to focus their energy on getting re-elected. But when commissions change and you get new members, and that kind of changes the balance, and so it just has worked out that I've been elected chair 5 times.
How long do you intend to stay on the commission?
Well, I have a year and a half left in my 4th term, and this will be the finale for me.
So how many? Is it a four-year term?
It is a four-year term.
So there's no limitations, though, right?
We have no term limits.
Okay. So you're just thinking time to do something else then, huh?
Well, after 16 years, I think citizens probably are looking for different representation. And I will take the opportunity to spend a little more time with my wife, perhaps travel a little bit. There's other things that I'd like to do in this life.
Does your wife know you're planning that?
She does. As a matter of fact, she's insisting on it.
She's okay with that. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Hey, this past week, an interesting appointment was made, I guess you could say. We have a new commissioner, or a new director for the Sedgwick County Zoo, Dr. Jeff Etling, is it? Yeah.
That is correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're really excited about Dr. Etling to get in position and start his leadership of the zoo. We had a very thorough process, as we should have when selecting a new director for the zoo. And the Sedgwick County Zoological Society was kind of the driver behind that. The commission, of course, had approval authority for that, but we were very pleased with the selection of the Zoological Society, and it was a 5-0 vote to support that.
Do you know if they had many candidates that they were looking at?
They had a lot of candidates who applied for this because this is a desirable job, and the finalists were all a really great group of folks, all of whom could have done a good job. But I am really pleased with the selection that we finally came to conclusion.
You know, that zoo, as I understand, has a great reputation. I mean, it's a beautiful zoo, and it's the number one outdoor attraction in the state of Kansas. I mean, if you guys did nothing else right over the past 20 years, or 40 years, whatever, that zoo is terrific, isn't it?
Well, it is a great asset for the whole region, and I have to give credit to the Zoological Society and Mark Reed for helping get the public support that makes it what it is. As you may know, the exhibits that we've opened in the last 10, 12 years, which were all very special exhibits, they were funded by the private sector. And so after they're funded and built, well, you know, of course, the county takes ownership of them, and our responsibility is to provide personnel to run the zoo properly. But the citizens of the community paid for those exhibits.
So you would say, government money-wise, you guys are spending it pretty good out there, pretty well, huh?
Well,
keeping an eye on it.
I think we're doing a good job in making sure that we maintain this excellent asset in our community.
Sure. I want to ask you about the email publishing scam the county got involved in. How did that thing work?
Well, you know, I'm not a crook, so I don't exactly know how that works.
But, okay.
And I think that I'm convinced that people who want to do evil, they can figure out a way to accomplish it. But it ultimately ended up pretty simple. A person, we're so transparent that this individual found out a way to time things such that he could ask for a change in the routing numbers on our payment, and he routed them to his own bank.
When you say transparent, we want our government to be transparent, but in this case, it kind of worked against you then, huh?
Yes, it did, and we've reviewed that internally and have made some changes that we think provide us a little more security.
Well, that was my next question. You got a fix in place that you think is going to work then?
Well,
as you can. I mean,
yeah, and you know, we want to have our systems better and our processes better so that we can not let this event occur again. And we also, you may have read that we've been doing a forensic audit so that we can have some outside eyes look at this and give us advice on if we should make any more changes.
Was anybody ever prosecuted or caught in this thing?
You know, it's all under the responsibility of the FBI,
okay,
and they are pretty tight-lipped. But I believe that this should be coming to trial here, I don't know, in the near future, but I really don't know.
It's so aggravating, though, isn't it? I mean, there's somebody out there with a little computer screen that can just do so much bad, so much harm in this world.
Well, they can. And
you look at that, Dave, and can they get into our power grid? Can they get it? There's a lot of danger involved in this, isn't there?
Well, I have this fear that I don't think about too often that they could do all sorts of damage. And I'm just hopeful that we have enough security and enough people of goodwill that we can protect that.
On a brighter note, Interest Bank Arena seems to be taking off. Now, to talk about some of the events that are planned there.
Well,
of course, we've got the big one coming up in July.
Yeah, we do, and we're really pleased about that. This is kind of a fulfillment of a long-term dream and the purpose of that facility. But getting what's going to be the third NCAA event coming up between 1 in 18 and 1 in the year 2021, that was a primary goal of the arenas, to get NCAA basketball events.
Sure, yeah.
But we also want great entertainment events. And, you know, July 19th, Sir Paul McCartney's coming to town. And my understanding is it's virtually sold out. And so we're very pleased about that. And we've had other big name people.
Some big country acts have come in. Have good, some yeah. good shows.
And, you know, we've made an effort through our management organization, SMG, to try to say, don't just focus on country. Try to broaden your spectrum of entertainment events. And they've worked hard at doing that. And we're really proud of our relationship with SMG and how they've managed the arena.
You know, the thing about it is that when those shows come in, it's not going to be just people from Wichita going to that show. You're going to be, some people are going to come in and maybe stay a night or two in the hotels, go to the restaurants. Just one show like McCartney's can generate a lot of money in this area.
Well, it has a huge economic impact to downtown businesses, which then trickles down clear across our community. But I've been told that when this act played in Little Rock, that they had some visitors fly in from Japan to watch the show.
Okay.
So that tells you what a draw he is and how it might affect our region, really for the benefit of all of us.
That arena, of course, as you know, wasn't financed without a bit of a fight. Did you support it from the beginning?
I did support it from the beginning, but to be honest with you, I was somewhat lukewarm at the beginning. Wasn't opposed to it, but not as strong an advocate as some of my other commissioners. Commissioner Tom Winters and Commissioner Ben Shortino were the two that were really aggressively involved in that. But I have to be careful how I say that, because we can't, as a government, can't advocate for that.
Okay.
We can only educate. But those two were especially hopeful that it would pass. Once it got approved by the citizens, well, then I was fully on board and wanted to make sure that we got the best facility we could.
What is the status of the arena? Is it paid for? Is there any debt owed on this thing? How does that work?
Well, as you may recall, we had a 1 cent tax that was imposed for 30 months. And at the end of 30 months, that tax was sunsetted. But it produced a little over $200 million. We built the arena, and when it was all said and done, we also had about a $15 million capital reserve fund, so that for any major changes to the arena, we had the resources to do that without hitting the county budget or asking for more taxes.
You know, I had forgotten about that. A lot of people say, well, they'll put that tax on and it'll never come off. But you guys put it on for 30 months. And sure enough, that is terrific. I mean, we don't owe anything anymore.
No.
The tax, you say 1 cent sales tax, right?
Correct.
That wasn't just paid by people, again, in Wichita. There were people coming in from all over the country paying that tax, right?
Yeah, and I've heard different numbers about how much comes in from outside the county,
yeah.
You know, as from 30% to 50% of our taxes. But whatever that mixture is, the net result is the tax went away, we have a paid-for arena, and we have enough money to do things like presently we're remodeling the north entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an expensive endeavor, but we have the resources to do it.
You're listening to Issues 2017 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commission Chair Dave Unruh. The Judge Riddell Boys Ranch at Lake Afton resurfaces for discussion from time to time, but I understand it may not from now on. What's the ultimate fate of the ranch out there, Dave?
Well, we presently have a request for proposal to raise the property. We have spent quite a while, at least the last couple of years, trying to decide, can we utilize it in some way that's a benefit to the community? Some folks who have said we can do something out there, sell us the property. But come to find out, because we took a federal grant way back in the 60s, in the 50s maybe, that grant has imposed a restriction on us over the whole Lake Afton property that we cannot sell it unless we replace that with like property. Hmm. And that's a restriction of the federal government. So it turns out we can't sell it, so nobody wants to invest to remodel that property if they don't own it. And the property's in such condition that we can't utilize it, and it really needs to come down.
All right. So the idea is just to bulldoze it, and then what? Just leave it there?
Well, it just becomes part of the Lake Afton Park grounds, mm-hmm. and what happens in the future, not sure, whether it's utilized for some special outdoor activity, you know, whether it's something we rent or whether it's a camping ground, something like that. We don't have an idea yet. We just need right now to get rid of the ongoing expense of providing the necessary security and upkeep on a building that's not being used.
Yeah. Well, what's new and exciting in the 1st District?
Well, in the 1st District specifically, you know, I'm just pleased to say that we're starting to have some economic development, new housing starts, trying to keep up with infrastructure for that expansion. But I think in general, things are looking prosperous for the 1st District.
What about, and I ask this from time to time of people who are in the know on these things, and that is the we had 9/11. We had huge impact on Wichita and Sedgwick County. Then you had the recession of 2008, another huge impact. Have we recovered from that, do you think, Dave?
Well, probably we haven't fully recovered. We're not probably where we would be had there not been those recessionary events. But I think in general, we're the slow, steady recovery is still underway. And I believe that will, in the end, make us stronger economically and help stabilize us should an event like that happen again.
Where is the county currently on the budgeting process? That doesn't you wind it up when in August or something?
Right. We'll have final approval of a budget in August. The manager will present to us his proposed budget in mid-June, I believe is the date. And then we start working from there on any modifications we make to his proposed budget. But our staff is fully engaged in budget processes and decision packages now.
Budget mode.
Yeah,
you got a business background, but I can think that if I were on that board with you, that'd be the most boring stuff there is. But maybe not. Maybe going over those line items is pretty interesting. What do you think?
Well, I will tell you, it is completely different from small business operation.
Yeah.
In my little automotive business that I was involved in for 40 years, we could make decisions instantaneously. Our budgeting process took a couple of days. This, in the county government, the budgeting process in reality never stops. It just is always a consideration and a planning thought process.
You know, I every time I hear somebody running for office, they say, we're going to run this government entity like a business. And I always think, really? Because it's a completely different deal. Is that realistic that you can take – well, you can take some good practices, I'm sure. And you guys do.
Well, I've said publicly that you can't run government like a business. And I got some pushback from city manager and from county manager. But the fact of the matter is we can be efficient and we can do things the right way and we can do things professionally and customer-friendly. But in terms of being like a business, we have a major difference in that businesses operate for profit. We operate to provide services for our citizens. We engage in a lot of activities that rather than create revenue are a revenue expense. And so there's significant difference just in the general theory about what is your goal. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, just the process of coming to a decision, as you've observed from your perspective, takes forever. If I want to try to advance something, I got to get commissioners that agree with me. We got to get staff agrees with me. If it has some impact on the private sector, we need to check with them. If it has impact for the city, we need to check with them. It just takes forever sometimes, it seems, to come to a conclusion, make a decision. So the decision-making process and the fundamental goal of what your purpose is so different from business that it makes it difficult to run like a business. But efficiency and professionalism, we strive to achieve that.
And that's democracy at its basic level, the local level, where, okay, we're going to make a decision, but to make a really good, smart decision, you want to get input from everybody if you can. Everybody's going to get a little say in what's going on, huh?
Well, and we need to do that because everybody is putting some money in the till to help provide their financial resources for it. And there's just hundreds of opinion on even the simplest of decisions, and we need to filter those and factor them into what our final conclusion is.
And it raises something else I think about from time to time, that you guys, you've got your phones down there, you answer your phones at the county commission, and you hear from citizens not only on Wednesdays, but all the time. And sometimes you hear from people who are pretty upset. Dave, how do you handle that? How do you, when they're really getting in your face and really not being fair to you, you know, maybe.
Well, you know, we have to be, I think, professional and willing to listen even to folks who have a position adverse to your own. And most folks call when they have a real grievance. I mean, something has impacted their life that they don't like. We can't always immediately respond to that, but we have to be willing to hear their complaint and then see if there's some way that we can respond to that in a way that satisfies them.
When we look at this budget, again, we're kind of in the beginning stages of it, but are you looking at any possible pay raises for county employees? Is it something you've been taking care of over the past couple of years?
Well, I believe the manager will factor in some sort of compensation change that will help us keep employees. We know that our pay scales for county employees are below the private sector, and we are actually slightly below the city government. We pay more than some counties do, depending on their situation. But we have, in my opinion, excellent employees at Sedgwick County. They're professional people who are committed to their task, and so we need to compensate them as fairly as we can. But we're talking about public money, and a lot of times folks out in the private sector aren't getting raises.
That's true.
And so all that has to come into our thinking, but we want to keep good employees.
You know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. Are you seeing signs of economic diversification from relying just on the aircraft industry as we have for the past 70 years?
I think that we are diversifying our economic base, and there's you know, and that's really gratifying to see that happen. It's hard to replace those high-paying manufacturing jobs of aviation, but that's part of our challenge to overcome the effects of this recession that we went through. But I believe that we're going to be stronger when it's through, and we will be more diversified. But we're not going to give up on trying to attract high-paying jobs into our community.
Okay, so you've been at this now, what my math says, something like 15 years, right?
Correct.
What do you like best about being a Sedgwick County Commissioner?
Well, I really like best being able to have a say in initiatives that are helpful to our community and that really change the quality of life for our citizens. Probably the biggest thing in economic development and making our community strong is quality of life, developing the workforce, which we had a big part in when we built the National Center for Aviation Training, and then having a government philosophy that invites businesses and industry into our community because of the resources we have and the type of community that we are.
What's the biggest challenge you face every day?
Well, we've been talking about it. The biggest challenge is to try to get a budget that is workable without having a mill levy increase, but one that we can successfully carry out the mission of Sedgwick County.
Now, if there's young people out there, maybe they're looking at politics and they're getting kind of a bad taste in their mouth from what's been happening in the past couple of years. What do you say to somebody who may be anticipating, maybe a young person would like to pursue a government office or a role in civics? What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, I would say to stay involved and stay have a good understanding and awareness of the challenges that face our community, And as they see how we're responding and someone thinks that they can make a difference and they have the energy to become involved and are not afraid to verbalize that, I think that, I would encourage them to go ahead and get involved. Probably someone that's brand new to the area is going to have difficulty doing that. But after you've been around a while and you understand the culture and character of our community, find a place to get plugged in and then let it grow from there.
Yeah, maybe somebody has some new ideas. What do you think?
Exactly. I think people, young people especially, I mean, we need to get them involved and keep them here.
Well, Dave, I would like to say thank you for being on the show, the Issue Show, a few times over the years. And I always have enjoyed working with you, and we appreciate your service, and hope you have a good retirement when that comes around here, or for, at least from County Commission.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here, and your interviews are always fun, but they're probing, but very fun.
That's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.